You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast. Hello.
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 I'm Rachel Nemeth.
I'm Paul Mann.
And I'm Tom Canning. And welcome to episode 123 of the Real Reading Podcast. You can like us on Twitter at Real Reading Pod and search Real Reading Podcast Group to join us on Facebook. We are taking a look at the week's headlines, albeit we've had to change things slightly at the last minute because you'll notice Hugh Fort can't join us today. We were going to talk about the Graiseley Garden Town, but unfortunately he's messaged us this morning to say, I've got so much work to do, I can't join you today. Well, this is what happens when you become a 1 million page view a month reporter.
So, you know, it's going up in the world, isn't it?
Suddenly everyone's reading your content. And you know, you're just too busy for the Real Reading Podcast. So Paul Mann is here again, which is great. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Hugh. Hi, Rach. Hope you're both doing very well in this time of Reading FC glory.
Paul, I don't want to make even things even worse, but you just called me Hugh.
Oh, no.
Are you having a shocker?
You know, before we started recording this, I let you into the kind of like the depths of Real Reading Podcast. I lost the ability to speak, and now it's getting even worse, isn't it?
I know you had your jab last week. Is it really starting to take effect? Is that the problem?
I think it is, yeah. I mean, as long as I don't start supporting Oxford, as I mentioned last week, everything's going to be okay. Yeah.
So yes, we will not be looking at the Graiseley Garden Town. We'll probably have a chat about that next week. But there is something happening at Prospect Park, which is those of us with kids will be very excited about. And we will be making the most of our Reading FC expert and asking Paul a few questions about the Royals. However, before we move on, this isn't exactly Reading, but it's Bracknell. It just caught my eye because one of their food trucks, so we've all got food. The reason I can tie this into Reading is because we've all got this new food waste thing going on, haven't we? Ooh. So we've got food waste, we've got, you know, new bins half the size of what you actually need and all this gubbins going on. But in the midst of it all, Bracknell Forest Council have released the news that they asked people to name their new garbage trucks. Is garbage the American? That's
American.
Yeah, you have to say like garbage.
Refuse. Now, am I okay to say refuse trucks? Dustbin lorry.
Dustbin lorry.
Yeah. So they named their dustbin lorries, and one of the suggestions was not dustbin face. It was Dame Foodie Dench, which I think is incredibly clever. And the greatest thing about this whole thing is that the legend herself, the National Treasure, has actually responded to Bracknell Forest Council and left a lovely video message, which I will just play for you now.
I've been called lots of names and I've played lots of people, but I've never been called Dame Foodie Dench. And I'm very proud to be so on the front of the food waste collection lorry. Thank you.
That was Dame Judi Dench exclusively on the Real Reading Podcast. Not exclusively at all. That was recorded for Bracknell Forest Council. Just talking about being named a dustbin lorry. So
does she have any ties to Bracknell, or is it just that her name fits the bill?
I think it's the name that fits the bill. But having said that, my mother, who has just arrived, she's sporting a lockdown do, but she did have a passing resemblance to Dame Judi.
I wondered where that was going for a moment, Tom. I really did.
My mum is Dame Judi Dench.
Younger version of Ops.
Yes, I think Dame Judi is 90 now, I believe.
In the article, it said 86, I think.
Oh, well, you know. Well,
aging Dame.
You wouldn't think it, though, if you see her interviewed on things. She's faring well, Dame
Judy. She is indeed. So I just thought that was a lovely little story, and I hope you enjoyed the little bit of audio there.
I love stuff like that. I think like kids especially, like Zachary loves it when the rubbish trucks come round. We have to look out the window at them. And if they are they going to put her name on the truck?
Oh, it's on the front of the truck, yeah.
On the front, of the truck. So it's a bit like, you know, when you're on the motorway and you go past an Eddie Stobart lorry and you have to have a good look to see what name's on the front.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like that. Well, yes, we should definitely be doing stuff like that around Reading.
I think so, yes. There was when I was working in Nottingham for a little while on one of the various projects, they have all their trams are named, and there's one named after, I believe there's one named after Vicky McClure, one of Nottingham's daughters. But there was also one called the George Green, which anyone who is a London's Burning fan will be well aware that he was one of the long-running characters in London's Burning. And I was curious as to why a character from London's Burning was named on a tram. I still don't know.
Oh, still it was definitely named after him.
Oh yeah, I took a picture of it. Oh no, I've no idea. Probably not.
Just made
me laugh.
That's a 1990s program you're talking about.
Yes, yeah. Oh, wow. Great show. Absolutely brilliant show.
Oh, I used to like that.
I think it was the Game of Thrones in the terms of killing off main characters on a regular basis before Game of Thrones.
A precursor to the Game of Thrones, London's Burning.
I stand by
that. That's a sentence I didn't think I was going to hear today.
I stand by that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's similarities. There's fire, and then there's the dragons breathing the fire.
Yep, and the last series was dreadful. So, you know.
Why did you still like watching that? That was like a proper Sunday night. Yeah. London's Burning, I'm talking about.
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's amazing where these go. Shall we move on? I've no idea if Dame Judi Dench ever appeared in London's Burning. Probably.
She's probably in the bill.
Yeah, probably in the bill. Yeah.
Everyone's in the bill.
If you would like to comment on these stories and agree with me that London's Burning was the precursor to Game of Thrones, here's Jeremy with how you can get in touch with us.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod. And join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thank you, Jeremy. Okay, now, as I mentioned, we will not be talking about the Graiseley garden town / village this week. I don't know if you can call a village a 15,000 home project. I don't know if that's a village. That's more of a small town, isn't it? That's pretty big. So we are going to instead talk about something much more fun. And this is a new play centre coming to Prospect Park. It looks like it's moved a little bit closer this week. It's a Prospect Park activity centre, and there have been more details released, which include it aims to help improve the availability and accessibility of outdoor activities in the town. It's a £500,000 investment approved by Reading Borough Council and a bid to bring more physical activity and well-being benefits to people living in the area. It's going to include... what's it going to include? Oh, here we go. The proposal includes a sky trail ropes course, which sounds great. Family mini golf with wheelchair access, outdoor enclosed education zone, including archery, portable climbing wall, and team building activities. Importantly, a cafe and a multifunction indoor space for parties and meetings. This sounds really good. It looks like it may well open in November, just when we all need to be inside again. I think they're going to submit the planning application in April. So, Rach, as someone with a small child who might enjoy activity centres, is this good news?
This is good news, yeah. We don't venture over that side of town very often, to be honest, because we've got sort of parks and things nearer to home. But I think we probably would if there was facilities like that over there. And I mean, what did you say? Rope, treetop, root, rope climb. Is that like go eight?
Yeah, I believe so. I think that's what one of the previous articles described it as, yes. And it's basically kind of the reworking of buildings and stuff that's already there, turn it like disused garages turning into a ropes course and climbing wall and all that sort of thing. So they're basically like just turning stuff that already exists that's not being used into, you know, facilities for people, which is great, I think.
Which is brilliant. And a cafe, I think it did yes. say as well. And but I might be like getting it wrong, but what you said, £500,000 yes. investment, which for all of what you just listed doesn't sound like a huge amount of money to me.
No.
But I just have no concept of how much things cost when it comes to like council types. It often seems like we've got to fix three potholes and it's going to cost £2 million, or we're going to build all of this, all these facilities for families and things, and it's we've got £500,000, which is, you know, a house.
I should add as well, sorry, this shows how much I read this article, how far down I read in this article. There's another bit to it. It says plans are also underway to spend almost £250,000 to urgently replace the playground in Prospect Park.
Okay.
So that's sort of £750,000 all told. I mean, I don't know. I think anything that improves outdoor facilities gets a thumbs up from me.
Oh, yeah. Especially, they have to put some parking in, sure. I don't know. What's the parking like at Prospect?
It's not too bad. I'm sure. I think sort of during when those football courts are in full flow, it can get a bit busy. But the parking's not too bad up there. I don't know. I mean, there's enough, you know, let's face it, we should be walking to that kind of thing. You know, it's in a residential area. It shouldn't be.
In Caversham, it's quite.
Oh, well, yeah, that's I'm not saying you specifically, but someone like me.
I did walk to your house once.
You
from
did.
Caversham.
You did.
In South Caversham to South Cut, stupidly in a pair of flip flops.
That was stupid.
It didn't. Yeah. I thought, oh, I'll do that little cut through from Portman Road up by Lidl, up Western Elms, and then it just pops out next to Tom's house. But it seems not. Yeah. It seems like there's another mile or two beyond that.
Paul, you live in the vicinity of Prospect Park, if I remember rightly.
No, my dad does. I don't. I live in Caversham. Yeah, no.
Do you use Prospect Park at all?
Yeah, definitely. My dad lives very near to it, and I used to go to Prospect Park a lot as a kid. And I remember having a school tournament there with my playing football. And I love that. Yeah, no, I used to love Prospect Park, and it has got a play area. I remember when they built that one many, many years ago. And
how long ago, do you know?
Sorry?
How long ago, do you remember? Do you know?
Oh, I know.
Are we talking?
I was
when
too
you
old
were
for it. Let's put it that way. Yeah,
right. Fine.
It's probably the 90s, early 90s, probably. Yeah. I wasn't going around it myself. Yeah. That's just not great. That's a conversation we should stop there. But it's kind of.
I feel having spent a lot of time walking around Prospect Park a little bit lately, it's a great sort of open space, but you know the paths are cracked. A lot of it just needs a little bit of TLC just to make it. But the one thing that struck me, there's a path that goes right through from Bath Road to the Tireless Road, the other side. There's a path that goes right through it. And the one thing that has been abundantly clear in this third lockdown is it's just not quite wide enough. And I'm not suggesting that necessarily more green space is taken up by paths, but just it's just not quite wide enough to allow people to properly socially distance. And so all the verges are all cut up, and it's a bit messy and muddy. But hey, I'm not going to complain that much about Prospect Park. It's been probably the thing that's kept me the sanest throughout this whole.
It's got a miniature railway in it.
Yes, it does indeed, which I've never visited, but that looks terrific fun.
You being a train fan as well.
I know, ridiculous, eh? But you know, now I have a child, there's every chance we will visit it.
What about, did I read there was an Avery in there somewhere as well?
I don't know.
I made that up.
I remember that. I could be wrong though. I'm sure someone listen remember.
It's some, a huge park, isn't it? It's really
massive.
Big.
It's massive.
Mansion House still a pub?
It's a Harvester. Mm.
Oh, yeah,
I'd just, you know, I have nothing against Harvester whatsoever. Just if it was slightly more of a destination, that'd be terrific. But you know, I tell you what, the views from the top of that hill are pretty spectacular as well. It's just, you know, it's a bit of a I want to say underrated. I think
it's a huge park though.
It is
huge,
it is.
Park, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. It's about. The circumference is about a mile, just over a mile. Was it about a mile and a half? So it is pretty huge. Do I mean circumference? That's the round the edge, isn't it? Is that what I mean?
Oh, yeah. One of them is radius. The other
a radius is, yeah. Oh, no, let's just move on. No,
I'm sure I'll be relearning all of this, won't I? Shortly.
It's definitely circumference, because diameter is the whole width. Radius is the centre to the outside, and circumference is all the way. Well, there you go, people. You can stick.
Well, today's math lesson was good, wasn't it? Enjoyed that one.
So we generally think this is a thumbs up. We like this project. We like this proposal. Let's get it done, Reading.
Get it done. I'm just Googling. I can't see anything about an Avery. I think I made it up.
There's definitely a bowls club in there. And of course, there's Prospect Park Hospital in there as well. Prospect Park is terrific. I honestly, it is one of the things that's kept me sane. Prospect Park, it just has...
I'd imagine you have clocked up some miles pushing the pram around there.
Oh, yes,
go to sleep, baby.
Yes,
keep on pounding. It's good for the fitness with all the hills, and they do a lot of like Race for Life and things there, don't they, as well?
Lots of football, lots of Race for Life. It's a well-used facility, but I do think it's slightly underrated. I think Palmer Park gets all the glory between the two parks. I think Palmer Park's the one people think of.
And Prospect the glory?
Park, yeah. The, you know, the awards, the plaudits. Yeah.
That is what I think when I think of Palmer Park. I think glorious.
I just think, oh, that's the place I want to be. That is the destination in Reading. That's where it's happening. Palmer Park. Whoa, get me in that massive stadium.
Have you ever watched?
I only went there once. But I used to do, what do you call it? You know, like when you have athletics at school for sports day and stuff, and then... the winners of the school competitions then go into the inter school. I'm sure it had a name. I can't remember. But I had to go to Palmer Park for discus. Always good at throwing things, not so much running and jumping and things. But then I went and I came last. So I think I was just the best of a bad bunch at school, really. Not one of my proudest moments. Now I'm reliving it.
Have you ever watched football at Palmer Park, Paul?
No, I don't think I have. I haven't actually spent that much time because I was brought up on the other side of Reading. So I was brought up just off the Oxford Road near the Pond House. So Prospect Park was my go-to place. I was going to a park. So many times I've spent there and been dragged around there by my parents when I was much younger, when I was watching Match of the Day.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, but yeah.
It's dreadful experience. Any watching football with a running track is always a bad experience. Anyway, should we move? Talking of football, should we segue on to the football? Because Paul, I'm not going to quote you verbatim, mostly because I haven't bothered to go back and check the pre-season podcast we did with you. But you were pretty low at the start when the season.
Definitely. No doubt with Reading. We had a new manager. He'd only been there a week. There's no way I would have thought we'd be in fifth position now. I don't think any Reading fans would have believed that. I mean, I'm sure, maybe there's one or two, but they believe we're going to win the Champions League, even though we're not in it. So it's kind of, this is what happens with football. You never know, and especially in the Championship.
And this is despite... So Reading are fifth in the league, and this is despite, according to the fixtures and results that I've just pulled up in front of me, this is despite one win, two defeats, and a draw in the last four games. Everything is still pretty optimistic. So it was a 0-0 draw with Stoke. It was a 3-1 loss to Brentford, which that's nothing to be sniffed at. Brentford are, I've watched Brentford play football, and they're pretty good at the football. And then Millwall, which I suppose would probably have been an incredible disappointment, but then rallied with a 2-0 win over Bristol City, which cost the Bristol City manager his job, which, to be fair, in this time of a pandemic is not a very nice thing to do, Paul.
No. I'm not going to regret it, though. I'm okay with it, because it's a brutal industry, and I'm sure he got a massive payoff as well in football. So it's not a poor industry. Yeah, the Millwall game was the worst one, Tom. That was horrible. We didn't play well at all. But having said that, that's the first time we've played badly this year. So you would take that. You would take the occasional poor performance. Yeah. And then to bounce back with them, when you say, against Bristol City during the week, when we saw a moment of magic from our centre-half, Michael Morrison, who's now got the nickname Maradona, as a tribute to Maradona, running through the pitch. Just a beautiful flick to Jao. Jao passes on to him in the centre half, running into the penalty area, and then dinks it over the goalie. This is not what you're going to see from Michael Morrison ever again. He's a very traditional centre half. Whether he meant it or not, I think he did, but the expression on the players' faces around him told you everything. They were shocked this had happened.
there's a rather fine tweet that our friend and colleague Jonathan Lowe put out. It was 21 hours ago currently, and it's a picture of Morrison wheeling away, strip over his nose, looking every inch the centre half. And you've got the Bristol City goalkeeper on his haunches, screaming at the sky, and you've got another lad just down looking at the floor like he can't believe what's happened. And Jonathan says, this really needs to go into the National Gallery. I don't know if you ever saw, there was a New Year's Eve picture from the Manchester Evening News some years ago, and it was almost like there was a guy on the ground holding a bottle, there was someone being arrested. It was like I think it was sort of Lowry-esque, the whole sort of that New Year's Eve in one image. If you could describe New Year's Eve, that was it in Manchester City Centre. This is very much of a similar ilk, I feel. And it's wonderful. And as I said, just sort of looping back to my first sort of point, Paul, you were pretty low at the start of the season. What has changed?
What has changed? Well, new manager brought in to the togetherness with the players. Lucas Jao has also been fit for far more of the season. He's an absolutely fantastic striker, the best striker we've had since Dave Kitson. He gives all the rest of the team, I think, belief that we're going to go into games and win. Also, we've also got a lot of young players, and Panovic has shown before with his spell as Serbian under-20 manager that he can do well. He won the World Cup with them, and they've already blossomed. You've got Richards, McIntyre, Elise. These are key players in our team, and someone who's a little bit older, Ijaria, and he's got them all believing. You see at the end of the matches, they come together sometimes in a huddle, and they haven't seen such unity with players at Reading since probably the Brian McDermott era. It's been a long, long time. And I know people listening might think of the Yap Stand, but I think this is better. I think we can go up this season. And I think if we do get to play a final, I think we'll win it. We've got that edge.
Rach, as a long time supporter of the Royals and a lapsed season ticket holder, how do you feel about it as someone who's kind of not able to, I mean, none of us are able to go, but even if we were able to go, I presume you wouldn't be going currently.
Oh, gosh, I'll put me on the spot. I'm totally out of touch with it all. But it does all sound really positive. And I think that Zach is probably at an age now, he's 5 and a half, where when we are able to go to games again, I would be really keen to take him. And if they carry on like they are, it sounds like a good time to get involved. Because are they playing interesting football, Paul, to look at?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. No, it's not just that they were being lucky with wins. It's because we actually look like we're going to win games and we're dominating some games as well and scoring quite a few goals. We'll, you know, probably third or fourth for goals in this whole of the championship. So, yeah, it's really good. It's really enjoyable.
Because that's one of the reasons I stopped going in the first place, was because it got so boring to watch. And they just used to play from the back all the time, get about halfway up the pitch and then lose the ball, go, and then we'd just, and repeat. And if we got a goal, it was sort of more luck than anything else. So you want to, if you're going to watch your team and you're paying a fair amount of money, because it's not just the cost of the ticket, is it? It's all the other gubbins that comes with it, parking and any snacks and things. You want to know that you're going to watch your team try their damnedest to play good football and to win and get points. And I've said it before, but there's no feeling like seeing your team score. And you just, I don't know, I just remember that you don't even have conscious, you're not conscious what your body's doing. The goal goes in, you're on your feet, you're jumping, screaming, chanting. And then you think, oh God, did I just, like, there's no other time in my life where I would act in that same way. I wouldn't just stand in Broad Street and just, you know what I mean? You just lose all reservations that you might have in everyday life, and just, yeah, it's a great feeling. It's making me smile thinking about it now. Perhaps I should go. Yeah.
Paul, can I ask you briefly about the women's team?
Yeah, the women's team are doing quite well. The problem is with women's football now is that there's a divide. There's some really massive clubs that have come into it.
Yeah.
You've got the Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United, Man City. We actually sponsor one of the women's players, Dan Carter, through the site that I have. So, yeah, we're definitely interested in it. I think they would be playing more at the Medeski Stadium as well now. So will be more Reading, because they used to play at Wickham. And I would definitely go to a game if we could go to any games.
It had been my intention this season, given that they've played all their home games at the Medeski, it had been my intention to go to as many of them as possible this season. They have had some terrific results, having been thumped 5-0 by Chelsea. You know, again, no shame. You know, Chelsea have got some of the best players in the world playing for them. But they then drew 1-1 with Arsenal, 2-2 with Aston Villa. I think they were either a little unfortunate, or, you know, just not quite. They should have taken the points from that one. They then beat Manchester United, who are pushing for that top three, and then a 1-1 draw with Everton at the weekend. They've got Bristol City coming up this weekend, and then Spurs, followed by Man City, which is, again, you know, again, Manchester City have got some of the best players in the world. I think we were talking, but I don't know if we're able to talk about this, but you were just talking about kind of fan engagement with the club. And you've got the men's team and the women's team doing particularly well. And I believe over the last two seasons, Reading women have been the fifth best team in the country consistently, according to league position. There's a great opportunity right now for some engagement across both teams. Is that something that you want to see? Is that something that you believe the club should be doing?
They have done it a bit. They have been some videos of them mixing up, because obviously there's two players with the last name Moore also. Yeah. So there's a nice link there with Liam Moore, and my brain's gone completely on the name of the female player. But I do believe that they are trying to. I think if we weren't in the COVID world, I think you'd see a few more events happening, probably with some Reading men's players at some women's games. But the problem is, you also have to allow the women's game to also establish its own role. You don't want to make it look like it's a kind of add-on to men's football, because I don't feel that that's fair on the situation, because women's football is the fastest growing sport in the UK. So I think it is growing massively. And I think it's a great thing to have all these players shown on TV. It's not like, say, the Premier League and the top football now. That's not shown normally on the BBC or, you know, a normal terrestrial channel. With the women's football, that's for everyone to see. And I think now that you've got young girls growing up and seeing these women playing football, that wasn't there 15 years ago. Now they see they can do this. Why can't they become footballers? And maybe in 20 years' time, they'll be earning a massive wage of football as well, because it could explode quite easily.
Rach, was football ever on your radar as a sport to play? And I ask you this particularly as a woman.
No, not at any sort of, you know, team level. Obviously, used to play in the garden with my brother a lot, watching out for the greenhouse, but using that as one goalpost and the washing line as the other, much to my dad's horror. But hockey and netball were more my thing, to be honest. Yeah, I was quite good at hockey. I did play that for a club for a bit, but I didn't really like the cold. So
no, I can quite understand that. The cold and the wet is not ideal, is it?
No, but I do quite keep every so often. I think, netball. Wonder if there's like any local amateur teams around that I could go and have a goal attack. I think I was
glory.
Yeah. But not like I always felt sorry for the centre because they had to do a lot of running. So I just
it's a team game.
Yeah.
Obviously the Reading FC and Reading FC women are in good shape going into the second half of the season. I guess, Paul, just to finish off, can Reading's men's team get promoted? And if so, what then?
Premier League. Well, that's what will happen.
Can they? All right, fine. Can they stay there?
Yeah, I think we can get promoted. I think we will get promoted, and I think we'll win the playoff final. I think if we go up, I think we will stay there because we've got a crazy enough owner that will spend enough money to make sure that we do stay up. What happens after that is hard to say. I think we have an amazing setup now with the training ground, with the stadium, with the owner, with a lot of young players coming through. I feel really optimistic about it, but there's lots of other clubs in the Championship in the same situation. We aren't alone. So, yeah, I think we could stay up for a few years. Well, are we going to stay up forever in the Premier League if we go there? No, we're not. That's just not going to happen.
What a shame it's all going so well when we can't go and watch.
Yeah, that's typical, isn't it? I know. I've
I hope those
like
two things aren't related.
Yeah.
That they just play better in the stadium.
Yeah, we can never go again, but Reading now go on to win the Premier League in 3 years' time. Do we take that?
Well, yeah, like people have lucky charms, don't they? That, you know, every game they have to wear a certain item of clothing, a hat or something, because it's their lucky charm. And Reading will lose if we don't wear the hat. So if we all turn up and they start losing again. And Reading fans, we can be a bit fickle, can't we? Like if they had a bad game and everybody's there, 20,000 people and start booing and you load of rubbish and stuff.
Yeah. We're not a football town. That's the issue, Rach. We're not really. We don't have the history. That won't go down with your listeners. That will not go down well. But unfortunately, we don't have that. We will get that in 20 years' time. We'll have that history when we've won the FA Cup, League Cup, you know, Europa League. So
that's it. Aim high.
Yeah, why not, eh?
We're on a roll. We're doing well. We'll take all the trophies.
Okay. Thanks, guys. That was a bit of chat about Reading FC. We've stretched that out just a tad because, as I mentioned before, none of us felt particularly comfortable talking about Graiseley, the Graiseley Village town development without Hugh Fort, who knows about these things. All three of us read the story and thought that sounds like a terrible idea, but without actually being able to add any sort of context or analysis to it. So
I'd feel bad for Hugh anyway, because he loves talking about a planning application, doesn't he?
He does indeed. So
we'll be upset if we did that without him.
We'll roll that over to next week and we can get into the nitty gritty of Graiseley and living near the AWE. Right, we will move on to part two and we will have the random question.
The random question.
Hello, back again.
Hello.
I don't know what I'm expecting from that, because the listeners won't realise that we have about a 3 second break between where, and then I insert a little advert thing for you all to listen to. I have no idea what the advert is. Could be anything. I mean, I'm trusting the hosting company to put something relevant in there, but it could be absolutely anything. Could be a advert for something in Oxford, for all I know, which would go down badly with Paul, wouldn't it?
Don't do that.
No.
No.
Okay, this week's random question. I've been on to the internet again. I have looked up some random questions. And I've got this one, which is, what doesn't exist but should?
I actually read the script ahead of time and had a think about this, and I'm still stumped. Because everything I thought of that I feel that Reading is lacking, we've sort of got coming to us, really. I was trying to think, what have other towns locally got that we haven't, that we'd benefit from? So I was like, well, we haven't got a swimming pool, good one. Well, it's coming, as we've talked about many times. And then I thought, oh, right, well, Bracknell's got Go Ape at, what's it called? Swinley Forest. So that would be good. And then I read the article about Prospect Park, and they're going to put in a high rope thing. Go Ape. Oh, right, okay, so we're going to have one of those. Rich, my husband, suggested a ice rink, which, seen as Bracknell has just lost theirs, would be quite cool. Then I thought, I was bleating on about independent traders and things, but we talked about that last week with that bit in Queen Victoria Street where they're going to put that new courtyard. So that could all start. So I was like, oh, Reading's doing all right at the minute. I mean, we can always go back to our old favourite, Tom, the monorail.
Yes, yes.
Which we do love, a monorail, a la Springfield and The Simpsons. thank you, Paul.
Just if that didn't get picked up, Paul was doing the song.
Yeah, so I feel like if Reading delivers all the things that it's promising, at the minute, we're all right at the minute. We're quite a good place to be. Maybe make a bit more of our local, of our cultural history. I'm going to go with that. So,
okay.
Like with the prison and the abbey and things, that Reading people often think, people, particularly people who aren't from around here, think that Reading is like a relatively new town, a bit of a Milton Keynes type establishment. But there's a lot of history here, and perhaps we should make more of that as part of the culture.
I agree.
Paul, what about you?
I know, I've got to agree with Rachel and her one, first of all, and say that we definitely should make more of our history. We're not a new town. This is a place that had Parliament. We should, like, make more of these things. And I don't know why we always seemed a little bit embarrassed by ourselves of Reading. It's because, obviously, we're in the shadow, oh, I'm not going to say it, of Oxford. I'll say it. It's because they've got so much more their history. And I find that deeply upsetting. But it's mainly London. That's the issue, isn't
yeah.
it? It's because
we
just can't compete with it. Mine's a little bit more crazy. As a child, I used to dream about having an underground in Reading. I used to dream about all these things. Like, yeah, yeah. It's amazing, like having a station in Tylehurst. You'd have one in maybe Whitley. You could have one in the town centre. Because I remember growing up hearing about this monorail idea, reading it in papers and stuff. And I thought, no, we need to go to another dimension. And then we can have this underground. And I was thinking, how much will we pay? And as I had this whole thing set up in my head. I had to daydream about these kind of things at school. You know, I wasn't really bothered by going to school, so I just kind of got involved with these kind of ideas. So where would you think would be the best place for a train station? Underground in Reading, Tom. Where would your destination be in the town centre? Where would you put the stops?
Oh, I think you'd have to go round, because you've got the buses that go in and out from the town centre. So you'd want it almost to be in a ring. So if you needed to go, so like for me, if I wanted to go to, say, let's say I got the bus from Southcote and I wanted to go to the Medeski, I've got to go into town, change in town, and then go out. So the monorail, the underground should go in a ring around the town. So I could. Whatever it is, halfway up the Bath Road, I'd jump on the underground and go round to the Medeski just across. Knowing my luck, it'd be a one-way underground and you have to go all the way round first. But, you know, there we go. So
didn't we talk about this about 6 months ago? Wasn't there like a university student or something?
Oh, there was. Someone
who designed an underground system for Reading.
Did.
You need to put me in touch with this person. I need to see this. This would be brilliant. Yeah, somebody, I love this idea. It never
ever happened,
but, you know.
Here we go. Yes, this is it. It was designed, the Reading Underground map, and it was designed by a chap from, I believe, Reading. He was a PhD researcher, Joe Preece, and he's from Tylehurst. and he specialises in digital railway systems, and he created a map which has 54 stations and 7 lines. Paul, I will share this with you.
Yeah, please do. I've got to say, that's a bit of a grander scale than I ever imagined, 54 stations in Reading.
Yeah, I mean, this is like London proportions now, isn't it? Which is, we were like, we'll have one in Caversham, one in Tarlhurst, one in the town centre.
we'll just finish off there, if that's all right, guys. Because it's been raining, my wife hasn't been able to go out for a walk this morning when we normally do the podcast, and the baby is a little grizzly. So if it's all right with you, we'll just finish there. I just wanted to add on the underground motor rail. I don't know if you've ever heard of motor rail, and it was this ability to drive your car onto a train and travel around the country instead of driving along the motorway. And it's a real thing that existed, and you could get it from Reading. You could go direct from looking at this Reading. You could go down to St Austell in Cornwall, and there's a whole map of all of these places you could go. You just make a booking, drive your car onto the train, and off you go. Wow. But it was a real
like
thing.
The tunnel.
Yeah, exactly like that. So yeah,
that's quite a good idea though, because we've been down to St Ives in Cornwall and places like that before, and it takes a long time, depending on the traffic, past Stonehenge mainly. It takes hours and hours. I think it took us about 6 or 7 hours once to get there, but if you could just drive on a train and just chill out for a few hours, but then when you get there you've got your car.
Ideal. All right. Well, thank you, guys. If anybody would like to add some things they think Reading should have but doesn't, please do get in touch. Here's Jeremy with how you can.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod. And join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. That's enough for this week. We'll be back next week, and we will talk about the Graiseley Garden. We need to decide what we're calling it. Is it Garden Village, Graiseley Village, Graiseley Town, whatever it is?
It's not a village.
No.
15,000 houses.
It's a small town. All I will say is that if they had a sports team, they should be known as the Isotopes, just to add another Springfield Simpsons reference into there. Yes, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with plenty more. If you have a moment, please give us a rating on your podcast app and give us a little review if you can as well. We'll be back for more Readingy podcast goodness next week. Bye.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.